Thank you for supporting Jordan Clay Ministries.
and 10,000 at your right hand. He will not come nigh your dwelling. And I shall tell my mom. I declare an army is rising up tonight. And I declare the chains of fear are being broken in Jesus' name. Thank you. abundantly. God, help us to properly fear and reverend you in your sphere. God, I pray that you use me as your mouthpiece tonight. Luke 18, starting in verse 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. So when I was seeking the Lord of what he wanted me to deliver, he brought me to this passage. And you probably say, what does this have to do with worship? Well, like the rich young ruler, the church, it does all these things. But when God, the Holy Spirit, leads us to surrender, to full surrenderance, we back off. And I don't mean just the American church, I'm talking the Purpose House. There are some of us in here who aren't fully surrendered. Come on, God, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be mean. But we like Pastor Christy was saying, I'm just echoing what she said earlier. We sing these songs. God, set a fire. Set a fire that I can't contain and I can't control. But when it touches a certain part of our heart, a certain part of our life, we go, oh no, not there. Right. Don't touch that room. Right. And we wonder why we don't see revival. We wonder why we see division in our churches. We wonder why we see the church looking more like the world than looking like the church is supposed to be. What does worship mean to you? What does worship mean to us? See, I'm not just talking about what we come in here when we sing songs. See, worship is more than just singing and dancing and falling on our face. But the Bible says to do everything to the glory of God. So our lifestyle, our Christian walk, is actually worship to the Father. So are we fully surrendered in our walk? Do we listen to the still small voice when he gives us instruction? Do we listen to the small voice when he's giving us correction? and trying to save us from something, but we're too hard-headed, and then we wonder why we go through the crap that we go through. See, I hear people say, the devil made me do it, or they blame it on everything else, but I would say 98% of the stuff we go through is because we're not fully surrendered. We come into church and we complain about this and complain about that. We talk about other people. We judge people. And the best thing we can do is come into church and shut up and surrender our hearts to the King. We come into church and we play games, and God is asking, who will be the voice in the wilderness? But we're too busy complaining because somebody sat in our seat, or they didn't read the right version. The music was too loud, it was too soft. The lights weren't right, it's too dark, it's too bright. What do you think they had in the upper room? They had unity. They were all in one accord, and they were praying for what Jesus had told them. They were praying for the promise that they had been given. All of His promises are yes and amen. John 4:23-24, from here on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with the right heart. For God is a spirit, and He longs to have sincere worshipers who worship and adore Him in the realm of the spirit and in truth. Psalm 95:6, oh come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 96:8-9, give to the Lord the glory, do His name, bring an offering and come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, tremble before Him all the earth. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let me say that again. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I believe it was Todd White who said he had a dream one night, and on one side was Satan, and there's a fence in the middle, and the other side was Jesus, and he was standing on the fence. And the Lord told him, Satan wins the fence. If you're not fully surrendered, you're on the fence. Come on, guys. What walls have we placed around our hearts? And I'm speaking from living this the past month, and people and gatekeepers can tell you, because I was being hard-headed a few weeks ago. But luckily, we go to church with people who won't give up on you. What would it look like if you truly surrendered your heart, if you truly tore down the walls, if you got rid of the fear, if you got rid of the insecurity, and said, Jesus, I'm going to worship you no matter what it looks like, no matter what it sounds like, no matter what people say about me, I'm going to be bold for your presence. I'm not going to let anything limit how having your presence in my life. When Jesus was baptized, it said the dove came down the Spirit came down like a dove and it rested upon Him. And I see a picture of Jesus with a dove on His shoulder. What if we lived life? What if we took into account every step with the dove in mind so that the dove wouldn't leave? How would our decisions be different? If we thought about every decision and said, is this going to cause distance between me and God? What would our lives look like? See, Jesus was so aware of the power within Him. When the lady with the issue of blood touched Him, He felt the power leave. He was so aware of what He had inside of Him that He felt it when it leave. What would it look like if we were so in tune that as soon as we started to go off track just a little bit, or our heart started to go out of alignment just a little bit, we were able to realize. And we could repent. But no, repentance isn't cool. It's not fun. It's not fun to admit when you're wrong. And you've been living out the will. Especially when there's 500 people praying over you and you're doing it out loud. It's not fun, I know. But full surrender requires repentance. Because we are not perfect. God is calling us to a place of holiness. Because it's in a place of holiness and consecration that we're able to live into full surrenderance. It's not easy to live a lifestyle of holiness, but it's worth it. It's not easy to say no to friends. It's not easy to say no to family, but it's worth it.
Yes.
It's not easy to say no to some of the things we listen to and some of the things we watch, but it's worth it.
Yes.
And there is a difference between legalism and holiness.
Right.
Damon Thompson says the difference between legalism and holiness is the lifestyles look exactly the same, but they're lived from a completely different motivation.
Oh, no. Yes. Tell it.
See, religion and legalism says, I'm not going to do that because I want to uphold my image.
Yep.
I don't want to look like a nasty sinner. I don't want to look like the world. It's prideful. Holiness says, I don't want to do that because it creates distance between me and the Father.
Yeah.
Holiness says, I don't want there to be any barriers or blocks from hearing His voice. And see, holiness and consecration requires wilderness. And we don't like the wilderness. Because for most of us, the wilderness is the place we fall back because we aren't fully surrendered. Think about that. You know, people, I'm just going into a winter season. I'm in a wilderness season. That's not an excuse to sin and live how you want to. The wilderness is a place of growth and maturity. A wilderness is where your character is built to where you can sustain your gifting and your calling. See, after Jesus is baptized, it says, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. We skip that part. See, the Holy Spirit draws us to the wilderness to get us alone. To get out the distractions, the noise. To bring us to a place where it's just us and the Father, where we can sit in His lap. We can lay our head against His chest. Where we're so focused on His face that we don't even worry about His hands working because we know He is. We don't look for the work, we just focus on Him. So what does sacrifice mean? What does sacrifice look like? The Greek word for sacrifice is thusia, an official sacrifice prescribed by God, hence an offering from the Lord He accepts because it's offered on His terms. It's offered on His terms. Yes, He gives us free will, but the lifestyle of holiness and consecration and surrenderance is on His terms. It's willing to sacrifice to fulfill the calling and the will He has for your life. See, I don't get to come into this house and sit under Pastor Darren Christie as a son and go, I'll be a son. But I don't want to be committed. I don't want any responsibility. I don't want you to push me at all. I don't want to grow. I don't want you to hold me accountable. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that with God. See, the Jeremiah 29:13 says, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. If you're not finding God, are you truly seeking Him? Are you truly surrendered to spending time with the Father? Are you truly surrendered to the secret and the quiet place? See, the rich young ruler was not willing to sacrifice. He had done all these things. We do all these things. But when full surrender was required, he walks away. And unfortunately, we do that too much in the church. We're so busy, distracted with everything else. There's lost people dying and going to hell. And the enemy has us exactly where he wants us. And the culture isn't being changed. Teen suicide is still at an all-time high. Abortions at an all-time high. We wonder why there's so much darkness, because we're not willing to sacrifice to be the light. See, we lose sight of the value of sacrifice when we lose sight of the value of the cross. When we lose sight of the value of the price He paid for us on the cross, we lose sight of the importance of being His disciples and His sons and daughters. And every time I find myself in a storm or in battle, I find myself at the foot of the cross. And He reminds me of the darkness that He pulls me out. He pulled me out of. That place where I was depressed, angry, hated everybody, suicidal, addicted to pornography, just wanted everything to end, wanted to kill myself. He reached down, and with grace and mercy, He reached down and He lifted me up. And then a couple years ago, when we left the church with good intentions, and then we believed the lies of the enemy, and I told God, I said, I don't want nothing to do with you anymore. I know that you called me a mere prophet. I said, I don't want anything to do with it. And I completely ran and turned. We got broken into at 5:15 in the morning. Some kid doped up on heroin, kicked down our door barefoot. Luckily, nobody was injured as far as us goes. And a couple days later, I remember sitting in my bed, just thinking about it all. And then God brought me to a place where I was standing before Him. And I was giving my account. God, I know You. I served You. I went to church. I did all these things. I preached. And I remember hearing the voice of the Spirit of the Lord speak to me. And He said, but you didn't do what I called you to do. You wasted your time. You didn't fulfill the calling I had on your life. Yeah. Depart from me. I didn't know you. And in that moment, He reached down again. His love that never fails, His love that is willing to tear down the walls and to light up the lives, reached down again and grabbed. And again, I found myself with the revelation of the cross. See, the cross reveals our value to Him. As we're looking to the cross saying, God, You're worthy. Thank You for doing this. He's looking down at us saying, You are worth it. Yeah. And even if you're the only one, He would have still paid the price. So why can't we serve Him fully? Why can't we surrender our hearts to Him? Because it's not our life anyways. See, the sacrifice has to be on the altar for the fire to fall. We've forsaken the altar. And we wonder why the fire isn't falling.
Come on!
Set a fire. Get on the altar.
Yeah.
Send revival. Get on the altar. Send healing. Get on the altar. Send the prodigal son. Get on the altar. There is a pleasing aroma to God that is birthed when the presence of God meets the sacrifice of the people. When we surrender ourselves fully and we get on the altar before the Lord and the fire falls, there is a pleasing aroma that is sent up. Leviticus 1, 7 through 9. The sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar as burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. There's a cleansing that's got to take place. Even if we're willing to get on the altar, we've got to allow a cleansing to take place. He's got to cleanse us from the inside out. There's a purification that has to take place. And if we want to see it in Greensboro, it starts in this house.
Yes.
It starts with the leaders tonight.
Yes.
So are we willing? I'm closing. Y'all can stand. The call tonight, if you want to call it that tonight, I heard the Lord speak to me. Tonight is a night of cleansing and purification. Are we willing to fully surrender to Him? Are we willing to get rid of the walls and the limitations and the boundaries that we've set? Are we willing to get rid of the fear, the doubt, the insecurity? Holy Spirit, have your way tonight, God. God, come and cleanse us. Send the purifying fire tonight, God. Come and tear down the walls. Come and break the chains. Come and break the barriers tonight. Tear off the lid tonight, God. Remove the plastic tonight. Oh, God, we worship you and we thank you, God. God, we say, use us. God, we surrender our hearts to you. We surrender our lives to you. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way in this place.